Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to God's Bishops of Divine Guidance Ministries. Our mission in this ministry is to repair the breach in the walls of the body of Christ where failed leadership with poor character and judgment have caused the breach and failed the body. We believe, as Scripture states in Matthew 6:33, that we should seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Well, hello today. I'm Archbishop Turner, your host, welcoming you, our listeners and supporters, thanking you for joining us on today. Well, it's another day down here in Baton Rouge, and I'm just so happy and glad about it that we can move and have our being according to God's will. And we're going to talk today about God's will and some things that He's commanded us to do. And the main thing, our subject matter is, who owns you? Okay? We want to talk about who actually owns you. In other words, be not deceived, my brothers and sisters, and led astray. God is not mocked. Your character and lifestyle are screaming your ownership. Get real. So call somebody and tell them to join us on today. So we move and have our being. Let's invite the Holy Spirit in to do a perfect work for us on today, to help us to move and have our being in Him so that we can do the things that He's called. We need to move ourselves. See, we have to learn how to move ourselves out of the way, if you understand what I'm saying, because I can't do anything. Satan will jumble up your mind in a heartbeat and have you babbling at the wind if you're not in Christ, okay? And the only way we can do that is by utilizing the tools that God has given us to actually do what He's called us to do. So I have an announcement to make, and I keep making this announcement because on next week or so, we're going to be doing a special thing. And down here in Baton Rouge, the Second National Bishops Annual Leadership Conference is to be held here February, which is Tuesday the 23rd through Friday the 26th at New St. Luke's Baptist Church. And this is under Bishop Joseph Armstrong, who is the overseer. We're using his facility. It's located at 538 South Boulevard in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You can also email me if you need some pertinent information in reference to this conference. It's a leadership conference to teach people as our mission to do what God says do, so that you will be the perfect example, so that people won't have a problem following His commands. And you can only do that by implementing that in your life. And so that's what we're about, teaching and preaching God's word to get the saints to be accountable for who they're going to serve and who owns them, okay? So you can reach me at godsbishops@aol.com if you have need be in reference to the conference or anything else that you may have. I get messages from time to time with people asking me questions and wanting to know my viewpoints on certain issues and if I would speak to that particular issue at some point in time. And as the Holy Spirit moves, I'll get to it. Trust me, just keep on asking Him, and He'll move it upon my heart to do, because I have to be obedient. This is not my will, but my Father's will, all right? So who owns you? We're going to talk about that this morning, and we're in 1 John today, chapter 2, and it reads, "My little children," because remember, God tells us, and don't be offended by that, He tells us that we need to come to Him as little children. In other words, not with preconceived ideas and notions. And see, I notice when I go on a blog, talk radio switchboard, that for myself, and I go into the archives, I can see who is interested in what particular messages. And it seems like the messages that come from that I've really struck a few nerves, people have a tendency not to be interested in those because they really are not ready, okay? And I have to say that because if you're in Christ and you know that you belong to Him and you know that you're doing everything possible, You want to read everything. You want to read everything that's pertaining to him that comes down the pike. Do you understand what I'm saying? But if you are yet in your sin, that tells me a lot, because some particular situations are a little bit more paid attention to in terms of what can they gain or what can we do to get more, and you're looking for God's hand instead of his heart and his ways. And so that tells me a lot about the listeners, and that's okay, you know, because as you grow and learn and glean and understand that this is not a beat up or a beat down, this is not about crushing you and bringing your sins before you. That's not what this is about, baby. Let me tell you, this ministry is about getting real with what's really real out there. Do you understand? See, there are many ministers. I tell you all the time. There's many ministers that are out there saying pleasing things to the ear. There's many ministers and ministries, and you can see them all over the place where they have mega churches. But I guarantee you, if they were truly telling people you can stay in your sin and go to hell if you want to, because that's your decision, but that's not Christ's and God's and the Holy Spirit's decision. They have a purpose in your life, and it's not for you to come and pray and talk to them about what your needs are. Don't you know the Word of God says that they already know your needs before you ask? Okay? See, you have to line yourself up in order to be in the house, to be in the camp. You understand? See, you have to look at it like this. We're in warfare, and there's good guy, bad guy, all right? And so everybody really wants to be on the winning team, but do they want to do what it takes to maintain being on the winning team? You see movies all the time when somebody, you know, it's a whole bunch of people that come and say, I'm on your side, I'm on your side. Braveheart was a good one. You know, there were a couple of people that came in with the Irishman, if you remember the movie. And the Irish guy says, you know, there are no more Irish, but I'm here because the Lord sent me. Okay? Don't you remember? He emphatically said to Mel Gibson that the Lord had sent him to watch his back. And there was somebody else that came at that same time, the Irishman came. And do you remember, if you watch that, or go back and go get that movie and watch it, because it'll tell you a lot about warfare. Okay? You have to pick a side, baby. You can't serve two masters, and this and that serving the two masters, okay? Because there's one that you're going to love and the other one you're going to hate and despise. And so when you have to kill your flesh, you have a tendency not to want to hear the truth, okay? You want to turn a deaf ear and a blind eye so that you can still be in your mess, but yet at the same time you want to be saved. You want to be saved from the repercussions of having your life your way. You know, Sammy Davis and old Blue Eyes used to sing all the time, do it my way. I did it my way, yes. And where did they lift their eyes? Okay? Come on now. I got to tell you the truth. I can't allow my ministry because, see, I'm going to be accountable for every word that comes out of my mouth. And you've got to know that whatever I say to you, I say with a conviction, with a fervor, okay, and with a reverence to God, because I know whose side that I have decided to be on, okay? There was a time that I was straddling the fence, and see, I heard politely some things that told me, well, you better dive into that a little bit more, okay? But I need you to know that once I heard somebody radically give me a wake-up call, and see, I'm radical about this thing. So if you're not radical, you're not quite ready for meat yet. You're still on milk, and that's okay, okay, for a season. But I need you to know, my brothers and sisters, that this thing is winding down. This thing, I mean, they're talking about I can't even boot up my computer without hearing what Obama is the Antichrist. And guess what? Everybody's running around talking about it, and the church won't talk about what his plans are and how the New World Order is coming forth. And guess what? I sit there and look at that, and I lay down. And when I say I lay down, I mean I laugh so hard that my sides ache, okay, when I see that. Excuse me. If you are in him, you don't have anything to worry about, my brothers and sisters. You can laugh about that thing because you say to yourself in your spirit, I'm on the right side. Come on, bring it on. I'm up for a fight. Do you hear me? Because, see, I know who wins in the end, and I'm ready for that fight because I have made a decision, and I'm actually tired of the Lord not coming. I just want to tell you, okay, because I'm looking forward to the things that he said that this world is going to turn into, and I'm looking forward to be transformed into his marvelous light, okay? I'm looking, and every day I'm doing everything that I can to allow Christ and the Holy Spirit to do the work that it takes inside of me, so when he comes, he won't have a whole bunch of work to do. Do you understand? And he'll look at me and say, you know what? You started off kind of on the slow side like a turtle, but then you became a jackrabbit and you were out the box, okay, for me. And that's what I want to hear, all right? So, you know, I want him to be pleased with what that I have gotten to, the wholeness and the fullness of what he said that he would give us. You understand? I don't want to be tossed to and fro. When the storms come, I want to stand firm and speak his word so that storm has to bow its knee. See, I want to be in the miraculous will of God. I want to be able to speak with the power that he gave Adam and Eve when he gave them dominion over this earth. Do you understand? There's some more dimensions, you know, and we are procrastinating and we're fooling around and letting the enemy deceive us, and we're keeping our eyes blinded to the truth so that we're not growing in him so that we can get to the things that God was teaching Adam and Eve. Do you understand? Those same things that he was teaching Adam and Eve will be the same things that we're going to be moving, and we're going to be walking in power in that day. And Jesus said, and greater work shall you do in my name. Greater works. Well, now, what did Jesus do? Okay, he turned, you know, and I'm off my subject matter, but I mean, I have to move and let the Holy Spirit speak, okay? So I'll catch up with what he started me out with in a few minutes. But he turned water into wine. And then they turn around, you know, and the scribes and the people in the old days that want to take away from the validity of what he did would say that the wine was watered down, you know, that it really wasn't the full strength of wine. Excuse me, don't you know that Jesus knew how to say of the disciples, because they were there at the feast and they knew what kind of wine it was and what was actually done? Do you think for 1 minute when he created that miracle that wine was diluted? Come on now, he didn't have a reason to do that, because all he had to do was do the wine and then say, now y'all dilute it and pour some water in it. Oh, do you hear what I'm saying? He didn't have need to dilute nothing. He just told us not to be drunken, you know? But he told us to partake in at festivities. They drank wine. Come on now, talking about diluted wine, you know, man just has to put his hand in the miraculous, spiritual, mysterious ways of God, you know, and it just chaps my hide. I just have to tell you the truth. He tells us what wine is for. It's a medicine. It's medicinal, okay, because it does a mighty work, but they don't want you to overdo it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the word, is God's spirit, and if you call upon him, he can soothe what ails you. Do you understand? All you have to do is call on him, so you don't really have need of wine, but in case you do, okay? And just in case you do, just in case, you know, you've called on the Holy Spirit and he's done a work, okay, and maybe you are still a little bit restless in your spirit, or you you know, whatever, okay? But it's as a medicine. It relaxes you to a point if you don't overdo it. We don't want to be out of our heads. Why? Because that's how the enemy can get a foothold in and do what he intends to do. So let's not overdo the wine. That's what that's all about. But let's get back to the, thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's get back to what I was telling you about this movie with Mel Gibson, Braveheart. He said in his word, because he was, Wallace was his name, the person who helped to free, responsible for that uprising to take Scotland back from England, okay? And so what I want to say is this. That other person that came also with the Irishman. The Irishman God sent to watch his back. But there was another one that was sent to actually, okay, to kill Braveheart, Mel Gibson. Do you understand? So whenever God sends you someone, know that the enemy is going to send somebody too. Do you understand? So that you can be deceived. All right? And so the Irishman was really bold in his speaking and talking and moving and having his being, and he just talked about God all the time. See, when you're a person that talks about God all the time and that you allow God to tell you what to do and you listen, that's why he was able to save Wallace, because he knew that at that time God spoke to him, the Holy Spirit. He had the Holy Spirit, in other words. And God spoke to him and told him what was coming down the pike, and that Wallace was getting ready to be set up. That's why Wallace was saved, because the Irishman was true to what God had called him to do, and that was to watch Wallace's back. In other words, he knew that the angels were around, and when he was spoken to, he obeyed what was told him, and so Wallace was saved so that he could rescue Scotland from England, all right? And God is not no respect of persons. He does the same thing in this time. So what I wanted to say to you about the Obama situation, with everybody talking about he's the Antichrist, so what? One has to come. And so if you are worried about it and you're concerned about it, that means you don't have your act together. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? And you're not ready for the end times. You need to get yourself together. You better get real with this thing. I'm telling you, better get really real. All right? I'm warning you. I'm telling you, you need to stop this foolishness about wanting to hear things that particularly tickle you, and that you pick up, particular messages and part scriptures and all of that. That's not of God. Do you understand? Listen at the whole truth. All right? I'm glad this is a two-part series. The Holy Spirit told me this was a two-part thing, and maybe even more. But anyway, I need you to get to what I'm saying to you, because God is not mocked. What he said in his word and what he told his people is going to come to pass. His prophets don't prophesy. They prophesy. Do you hear me? It's man that goes out there and prophesies and tells you something to tickle your ear, to make you listen, because he wants something from you. He wants you to send him a donation, trust me, okay? He wants to tell you this. So when something good does happen down the pike, oh, you gave me that, you told me that, baby, let me bless you, blah, 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 all right? But if it doesn't line up with the word of God, they're proper lying. Do you hear me? They're proper lying. So I need you to get to this thing with me. And he says, when he talks about little children, he says, I write you these things so that you may not violate God's law and sin. Okay? If anyone should sin, listen at this, but he's already made a provision in the foundations of the earth. All right? Because he knew that it was going to be difficult for us to do this thing. All right? But he still gave us free choice. See, he gave us free choice. You have a choice in this matter, so don't listen if you don't want to. It's okay. But there's somebody out there that's hungry to want to know the truth, because they don't want in the end times to be told, depart from me, I never knew you. So then it goes on to say this. But if anyone should sin, if you should sin, we have an advocate, okay? In other words, we have an attorney. We have someone who is going to speak for us, all right? So you speak for yourself by praying to Christ and inviting the Holy Spirit in to convict you and do the things that you should do, so that you can stay in right standing with God. But he has already given us an advocate, one who will intercede for us, okay? So one who will go in our place and speak for us with the Father. It is Jesus Christ, the all-righteous, upright, just, who conforms to the Father's will in every purpose, thought, and action. See, Jesus conformed. See, See, the world is oh, please, I'm not conforming to that. I'm doing my own thing. I'm going my own way. I'm having whatever it is that I need to have and what my flesh wants and whatever, whatever, whatever. But you better get real. You better get real with this thing, and you better choose wisely and appropriately, because your life is hanging in the balance. Your life, eternal life, is hanging in the balance to which way you're going to go, whether it's to heaven or to hell. And there's too many people that have actually died on the table in an operating room or in a traffic violation or in being shot or whatever, that come back to say that they actually left their body and they went to a place and was told some things. It's too many people. But see, I don't need to die to get it, okay? Because I have an advocate with the Father, and all I have to do is read his word, and all I have to do is pray and ask for forgiveness when I sin and let you know that I do sin like everybody else. But I have conformed myself, and I have determined in my mind that whenever I do falter in any way, and it's generally in a thought process, it's not so much in deed anymore, okay? It's generally in a thought process. Maybe the first mind will tell you right, but then the enemy will whisper in your ear and say, yeah, but Jay did you something, so why should you do that? Okay, and then I always say, get thee behind me, Satan. Whatever came in my first mind is the Holy Spirit that tells me, leads me into all understanding and truth. And I have to do my Father's will, and I have to die to flesh, okay? Because, yeah, you injured me, but I'm going to pray for you, okay? Because you know not what you do. Because God's word says, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm, okay? So if you're out there and you're hating, and whatever else, know that God's word tells us not to bother the prophets. You better leave them alone, because, see, God already has his hand on that situation, and he's going to do exceedingly abundantly everything that needs to be done to that person. And so the word goes on to say this, and this is how we may discern daily by experience that we are coming to know him, to perceive him, to recognize. Remember on yesterday I told you to come on and keep coming? Here's another confirmation about that. We are coming to know him. We have to come to him in order to get to know him. You can't know him from afar off, my baby. You're gonna have to break down and come, okay? And so then he says this. He says that we are coming to know him, to perceive him, to recognize him, to understand him, and to come better acquainted with him. If we keep, in other words, bear in mind, if we keep, in other words, if we observe and practice his teachings, his precepts, and his commandments, okay? Now, I'm going to give you something that the Holy Spirit told me to acknowledge and to get you so that you can understand, because this is imperative, and this is why many people don't understand what happened in the garden with Adam and Eve and why it is that sin abounds, and why it is that the flesh caters to the sin nature. We need to understand the rudiments of the thing in order to understand that we need to change the thing. Do you understand? So I went to my Bible dictionary, okay, and I had it when I was in seminary, and that was one of the requirements, because you can't learn how to preach and teach if you don't acquire some of the tools that you need to. And I also use my lexicons, the Greek and the Hebrew lexicons, so that I can find out whichever word it is, whether it's in the Greek or Hebrew. See, I do a lot of research. I don't just come and just talk out of my spirit and out of my behind. I need you to understand that. And excuse me if you're offended, but I'm a real person. Okay, and people need to stop all of this. You need to call that thing so people can understand. And once they understand that you are real and you are real about what you say and what you think and what you feel, okay, then you have the liberty to say a few things that other people who have a problem with dress codes and lipstick and you know what I'm saying to you? I'm trying to reach the one who's out there. I'm trying to reach, you know, and I have to keep it real for the people who are out there so that you can really get some substance out of what I'm saying to you. And if I get too holy on you, then you know, and don't keep it real for you, you know, that's my ministry. And if you get offended, you know, like I said, click, that's the dial tone. Okay? So anyway, the name is given. We're talking about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that was in the Garden of Eden, okay? And you need to understand some of this. We need to understand some of this that we're having a problem with. And so I need you to know that God is a God that hears and knows, and he's touched by our infirmities. And the Word of God says this about it. The name given in Genesis, this is the scripture, Genesis 2:9, to a tree planted in Eden, okay, the fruit of which Adam and Eve were commanded not to eat. See, sin was already there in the world because God had created the world, but he hadn't created the law yet. You understand? So since sin already abounds on the earth, okay, they were told not to eat this fruit. See, you have to do things in season according to God's timing, all right? So it wasn't time yet for them to have knowledge of good and evil. It still was not yet time. But because of them being anxious to be the same as God and to know as much as God knows, okay, which is, do you realize that there's no way you're going to know everything that God knows because he's the creator of the universe? I don't give a doggone how smart you are. Because if that were the case, then you would go out and create your own universe, being the people that we are, selfish and self-centered, wanting to be who we are at all costs, not wanting to conform to anything. That's our nature. And I'm getting ready to explain why that's our nature, okay? So if you were all of that in a bag of chips, then you would go out there and form your own. And I really believe in my heart that's why people are always running, trying to go to the moon and try to go to Mars and Jupiter and all these other places, because they want to form a new heaven and a new earth, okay? Because this one is passing away, and they see it and they know it. And so they have to run, to hide, to try to find some place that they can be and still be in charge, instead of God being in charge. But there's no place in the universe that you can go, because God is in charge of all these things. Why? Because he created them, and they're his. Okay? So then let's read on. He says that even though the Adam and Eve were commanded not to eat these, they ate them anyway. And the two violated the divine command, because this was a divine command not to eat. God told them, do not eat of this tree, okay? And so they did their own thing, as we generally do, and violated the divine command. And through this act of disobedience, you understand, this is where disobedience came in. This is why we don't want to follow any type of commandments of anyone, because we feel like, who are you to tell me what to do? Because I was not there when this created, and how do I know this thing is real? Okay? So since I don't know that, I'm going to keep a blind eye, and I'm not going to be concerned about what you think it is, because there's no one living that was there. These are the justifications of the people to continue in their sin. Do you understand? These are their justifications. But he says here, through this act of disobedience, sin entered the human race. And it's found in Romans 5:12 through 14. And so I want to take you there for a second, and then we'll go back to our regular, to the place where we began. And then it says this, therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, okay, that's Adam, and of course Eve, and death as the result of sin, okay? See, when they ate of that fruit, know this, their eyes became enlightened. They were no longer children listening to what their God said when he came down to visit. They were no longer those little children, okay? Because then they became wise in their thinking, because they had eaten from this tree that's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So they then began to know the truth. And so it says so death spread to all men. Because remember, after Adam and Eve, all the men that came after there were born into sin, into the same disobedience. And that's why we cling to disobedience. You understand? Because we were born into disobedience through our forefathers and their forefathers all the way back to Adam and Eve. And so since Adam and Eve did wrong, because God was not ready for them to understand yet. He had some work to do in them yet. Because remember, God had just created them. And he was teaching them the things that they need to know. All right? So since they went and listened to evil, to the snake, the devil, because he was already there. Because remember, the devil was an angel. Remember, the devil was in heaven with God. So he knew all the things that Adam and Eve did not know. So no one being able to stop this spread or to escape its power. So you can't escape the power except for through the blood of Jesus. See, God said he was going to send somebody to fix it, to fix what Adam and Eve did, all right? That's why the Jews have been looking for a Messiah all these generations, because God said in his word that he would fix it. See, God is a God that gives you a way of escape. He fixes the problems that are set before you. And he always gives you an option and an out to get back to him. Do you understand? But it's up to you to take that way of escape. It's up to you to decide that the way of escape is one that is worthy of your attention. You see, some people don't think that God even exists. Some people don't even believe, I mean, people that believe in evolution, God bless their souls, okay, because I did not come from an ape. Know this, all right? And I didn't come from a tadpole that turned into a frog that did this and did that, and next thing you know, he was walking on land as an ape. I didn't come from that. Know this. Do you understand? The apes were designed possibly in my image as opposed to me them. All right? So because of all men's sin, that this power that we're talking about was unable to be stopped. Only Christ could stop the power of this sin. Okay. To be sure, sin was in the world before ever the law was given. Do you understand? Sin was in the world before the law was given. Do you understand? So, but sin is not charged to men's account where there is no law to transgress. See, so those that before there was a law, before God gave Moses law, the sins of man, do you understand, were not accounted to him, to them. Because God had not sent Moses with the law. Since he was giving them freedom of choice and freedom to be. And so they chose upon themselves to sin, to keep after what God had told them not to do. Do you understand? So since this thing abound, God had a plan that eventually, in his timing, because you have to understand something, God keeps sending types and shadows to let us see who's coming. In other words, he doesn't throw you a blow. He sends you types and shadows. You know, Melchizedek was a type and shadow because the word of God says that nobody knew his history. Nobody knew where he came from. Nobody knew who his mother, his parents were. You know, our father, and it said that he was without mother or father, so he had to be a supernatural being. Do you understand what I'm saying? So God was always sending types and shadows. He was always sending people so that they could understand to go and talk to his people and to get them to stop transgressing because it wasn't time for Jesus to come yet. See, you have to understand the rudiments of a thing in order to understand and know a thing. Do you understand? And then it says that the significance of the name is subject of much theological debate. Okay? And it says that I'm reading this. As completeness is frequently expressed in Hebrew by paired extremes, some suggest the name indicates full and complete moral awareness. Tragically, human beings were plunged by Adam and Eve's act into a state in which that knowledge was to be gained by experience. Okay? So the knowledge, since Adam and Eve sinned, the knowledge of what they did is only gained by experience. So now you have experienced good and evil, so make a choice. See, they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and an angel was placed, two angels were placed at the tree of life. Why? See, God had to put some angels to guard, and it said armed angels. You know, and we've been preached that and talked about that for years, but no minister that I've ever known actually has said, used the term armed angels. So you're not going to go to that tree of life, okay, because God had to place the armed angels to keep anybody at bay, because once you eat from this tree of life, which is different from the tree of good and evil, see, they ate from that tree. So we have knowledge of the difference between good and evil. But see, once you eat from that tree of life, you understand, there's no way you can come back. You are automatically, whatever state you're in when you eat that fruit from that tree of life, that's your destiny. That's eternal. If you get to it and you're in Him, you're in Christ, that's eternal life. But if you don't get to Christ and the Holy Spirit and God and get back to God, then when you eat of that tree of life, that's your soul damnation. That means that you are never going to come back. That's eternal life. You're never going to come back to the state and be reconciled with God. That's, and to be out of the presence of God is damnation. Do you understand? Because that's total darkness. That's the abyss. That's being in a state where there is no light. Can you imagine the depression that will come upon you for being in total darkness? You know, they've tested that. And people in Alaska, where there's 6 months of darkness, do you know that people there are more depressed there than they are any place else in the world, except for places where they have a certain amount of time in darkness? Because we can't exist without light. We can't exist without light. Do you understand? Because light causes us, you know, light gives us vitamins just by the mere fact of light. It gives us life. Do you understand? We move and have our being based on that. So anyway, I just wanted to give that information to you so that you can get to the fact that this tree of life and this tree of good and evil. And that's why evil is in the world, because God didn't place a plan because it wasn't time. In other words, they jumped their time. They were out of season for eating the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, you see. And he told them that they could have any other fruit, but don't bother that one and the tree of life. Leave those two alone. And what did the enemy do? He fixed it. Because had they eaten in their state, okay, of being in relationship with God from the tree of life, you notice, do you realize, thank you, Holy Spirit, do you realize that when they ate from the tree of good and evil, why didn't they go eat from the tree of life? Do you understand? Because it didn't say anything about an angel being there at that time, guarded angels. It didn't say anything about that. So why didn't they go to eat from that tree? Because that tree of life would have kept them with God, all right? And they could have learned and walked with him and talked with him forever. But why did they go and listen to the enemy? See, that's what I'm talking about. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You understand? And take you from God. And when you buy into the things that he says is okay for you to do, you have just written accepted your ticket to hell. You understand? Unless the blinders and the scales from your eyes are lifted. So I need you to know, my brothers and sisters, that this thing is deep. This is not just some conversation. This is not about taking up an offering. This is about the state of your being when God returns for his people. Do you understand? And those of you who are skeptic about God returning for his people, know this. I've experienced too many things. I've seen too many things as a prophetess. He has allowed me to see. And that's why I can speak about him. That's why I can tell you about him. That's why I can give my testimonies. That's why I can tell you what his word says. He'll give me discernment to know what it is to tell you. Because he knows that I am on this road and that I refuse to turn around. I shall not. I will not. I will not take a back seat. I will not do what Eve did. I refuse to do what Eve did. You understand? I am on the road. I have already, as far as I'm concerned, even from the tree of life, I have already done that in my spirit. And there's no devil in hell. There's no evil one. There's no dispensation of anything that's going to make me do differently. All right? So I applaud you for those of you who are trying to get to this thing, you know, because this is really real. This is the most real thing that you could ever do for the rest of your life, because this thing is not about you moving and having your being in the things that you desire. That's not at this time. It's wonderful to have them, to be able to, but then you've got to put them in perspective. What is this journey truly about? And you've got to understand what it's truly about. And then the Word of God says in my closing, moreover, let us also be full of joy now, and let us exalt and triumph in our troubles, and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patience. This is what it produces. It produces patience and unswerving endurance. In other words, you stay on course. You don't swerve. People can't take you away. People can tickle your ears and make you think that it's okay to be in your sin. You stay on course and endure. Endurance, fortitude develops maturity. So endurance and fortitude develops maturity of character. And that's what our leadership lacks today for the most part. Our fortitude and fortitude which develops maturity of character. See, how can you follow someone who has no character? See, that's what our leadership is lacking, and we've got to get to this. You understand? And if you are in a situation where the leadership falters in its character, leave that and go to where character abounds. You know, good character abounds, and approve the faith and tried integrity. See, our character is supposed to prove our faith, okay, and try our integrity. And our character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. See, our hope is supposed to be in our salvation, okay, bringing us back to God. That's what our hope is supposed to be. Our hope is not that we get a Bentley. Do you understand? Our hope is not that we get some fast sports car and that we upgrade our home to our apartment to a serious condo with levels, the penthouse. That's not what this is about, okay? So we want to walk in what we're supposed to walk in, and we want to have what we're supposed to have. Let's seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things are going to be added to us, my brothers and sisters. And I'll have to take this up on tomorrow because this is truly a series. I've got to talk to you about some other things that are imperative. And tomorrow we're going to talk about how this sin thing, we know now how it came into existence, okay, and what it was doing, all right? But we want to talk about God, and we want to talk about who owns you, and this is this decision that you have to make. And so on tomorrow we're going to do that, and I just want you to know that God is real and he's true. to his word, and he cannot lie, and he will not be mocked. So I want you today, and I want to thank you today for joining us, for it's truly another day's journey, and I'm so very glad about it. So make it count, my brothers and sisters. Email me, you know, give me a holler, and because I'd love to hear from you, your thoughts and the things that you would like for me to talk about and research for you. And so I just want you to come forth now as pure gold. So join me on tomorrow, and we'll do some more on this thing about who owns you, in Jesus' name. Amen, and thank God.